The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Prep to Pro NBA Draft Podcast. My name is Ben Pfeiffer, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host Max Carlin. Max, how's it going?
I'm doing all right, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing well, as we are going to continue our discussion on the best plays in the 2020 NBA Draft. Ben Rubin, Stepien-esque, you know, talking about expected value, taking into account positional scarcity, skewing towards the top. We did our first 15 plays last time, and we're going to finish up our top 30 and then do catching eye. So without further ado, let's get into it.
The wait is finally over. A triple header of fun is upon us this week. Football's in full effect, with many teams strutting their stuff, and the MLB playoffs are in full swing. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Who do you have at 16, Ben?
16, I have... that's where I had Tillman.
Okay, and that's where I have Tilly at 45 plus.
All right, so 17.
I've got Bane late first.
Okay, I have Malachi.
Okay.
Capping off this group of like late first plays for me. Yeah, I like Malachi a lot. I think he is one of these like backup guards that potentially has one like actual legitimate value as a backup guard with, I think, some starting upside if the shooting really hits a higher end outcome. Again, like one of the best, if not the best, pick and roll guards in this class. So patient, crafty, snaking the pick and roll, setting up defenders, awesome with that floater, even if, you know, not the greatest finisher in the world, but, and I don't think he projects to be one, but really
good. I think he's a good finisher, but a low volume one.
Yeah, I mean, really good with that runner as well.
Yeah, I think best in class.
Yeah, up there certainly for me. I mean, like awesome intermediate game, and then defensively, like yeah, he's small, but he tries really hard. Nice lateral movement. Some like deceptive strength, I think, on the ball too, and is like really effective off ball. Not just like big plays, but you know, on a play to play basis, you know, stunting and digging at the nail, and you know, making, you know, trailing guys in the perimeter. He's just a really, really good guard defender in college.
Yeah, I mean, even as a playmaker, he has like great timing. Like he's clearly
an awesome defender. Like he,
yeah,
and I think his ceiling is like obviously, you know, just being a small guard, like lower in the NBA, but I think he could certainly like be around neutral, like maybe even a little better. Like
I think he will be around neutral and maybe could be a slight positive, but yeah, he was a really good college defender.
Yeah. I mean, he was just like a superstar college player. I mean,
yeah, he was so good. I've got Malachi late first, 21. There'll be some more explanation there. But yeah, I really like Malachi. I think he's awesome. I think more likely than not is just a good backup point guard. But certainly in the right setting, he could play a significant role. Like if he's in Philly, being the small guard defender off Ben Simmons, who is a versatile shooter, like a very versatile shooter,
some pick and roll creation for them.
Yeah, who has some actual pick and roll creation in the half court. Like the way I phrase it is best pick and roll player in college basketball, because I think that like
LaMelo
and Killian both, I think, are superior pick and roll players. Like maybe not necessarily right now, but certainly as prospect.
I think.
Yeah, and like I think close enough now. Just like they're. The high points out of pick and roll are so much more special. But Malachi, yeah, just like unbelievably complete pick and roll player that like He is an elite pull-up shooter. He has an elite runner. He has all of the craft elements. He can snake. He can get guys on his hip. He can keep guys there. And he, like you said, he is deceptively strong. Yeah, has every pick and roll pass down, highly functional with both hands. Really just an incredibly complete guard who also has this off-ball ability, that he is a good relocator, that he can shoot off the move. He has great range on a jumper. He's a fantastic player. He's going to be a good player in the NBA for a long time. He's a very good play. He's bumped down a little bit for me because of the quantity of good guard prospects in that range, but I'll get into that more later because my ranking of it has to do a lot with that. But a really worthwhile play. I think that like Milwaukee, Philly, all of these teams with big creators who need a guy who can do a little bit off the ball, but can play, I mean, a little bit on the ball, but can play off the ball as well. Should absolutely draft Malachi. He should 100% be a first round pick. He's a really, really, really good player.
Who did you have next? Because next at 18 I had RJ, then 19 I had Pat Will. So two guys have already done. So who do you
have? So at 18 I had Joe late first, who we've already done. But at 19 I finally have someone that we have not done yet. So at 19 I have Josh Green 10 to 20.
And I have him 20. So
so Josh Green 10 to 20 is actually a little bit of like a poor value by my board, but I think he's the last of like the good wing defenders. And like, I'm fine with reaching on that a little bit, even though there are other guys that I think are better prospects because they're less scarce, or inhibit you from a team building standpoint, or cost a ton, or some combination. So yeah, Josh Green, 10 to 20. I've said this a couple times before that like, I think he's really a very good defensive prospect in a way that's getting underrated. Like not quite in the Vasella Coro tier, but I do kind of think in that next tier after them as a wing defender.
Yeah. I mean, I've stayed and been high on his defensive.
Yeah.
Wing, like, this whole time, pretty much. Like
his hips are special. Like the way that he can flip his hips, the speed is unbelievable. Incredible lateral mover with a like huge, well-developed frame, has length, has 2 foot leaping, has a ton of strength, has some of the best passing moments in this entire class. Like some of his quick decisions, his redirects are really impressive. And I think that that's going to translate super well to a closeout attack role. I am low on him as a shooter. But I think like he'll be okay on spot ups. If it's enough to consistently draw closeouts, he will be a less damaging offensive player that I'm concerned about. I am very concerned about him overall as an offensive player because of the shooting and because of the finishing. Like maybe the worst finisher in the class, 2 left hand attempts all year, cannot finish
more than
at all.
Haliburton, right?
Yeah, I believe so. I think Haliburton's only lefty attempts were putbacks. But Josh Green, like you can see the panic in his eyes when he has a situation where he should attempt a lefty finish. It's all of these reverses and ridiculous contortions and like two handed attempts to try to avoid lefty finishes. He's a terrible finisher, but he has a nice runner game, has the passing ability off of that, like smart, good decision maker, reliable as a team defender, makes some really impressive plays. Like he has some little attributes that are really cool. Like his stunt recovery is amazing because he like simultaneously recovers and denies a pass really effectively. So just like very good team defender, awesome, awesome on-ball defender across multiple positions. Like conceivably can do some things offensively. Like I think that he has to clear that threshold as a shooter, but once you get beyond that, like he does have some actual ability as a ball mover. So a good prospect, not an amazing one, worried about him offensively, but a good prospect, very good defensive prospect.
Yeah, I mean, defense plus, you know, an easy fit in transition as well. Like even if the offensive ceiling in the half court doesn't hit, I like him a lot. I mean, I have him as this good of a play for all the same reasons you do. Again, I think like even for a team, like I wouldn't hate if like the Pelicans at 13 snag Josh Green to like fill their gaping hole at wing defender. Like I could, like, I think that's totally reasonable. Like again, like he is really, really a high level wing defender. I think, so I don't know. I like him a ton. I mean, just as a fan, he's one of my favorite guys in the class.
Yeah, And it's a real scarcity thing, because once you get past Okoro and Vassell, if you want like a really good wing defender prospect, Josh Green is your only option.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can wait until like Hinton to get a more off ball guy, like is a UDFA. There really is nobody else. Like,
yeah. I mean, if you want like
Woodard or Fine,
if you want versatile on ball wing defender with the like necessary team defense. So, if you just want like a complete and very good wing defender prospect, you are out of options after Okoro or slash Vassell beyond Josh Green. Like, Josh Green is your only one. And I think that that's a strong argument for him as a worthwhile play. Yeah, I don't have a problem with a team taking him in the lottery. Like you said, New Orleans would make sense. Portland, even like Boston, there are teams that make sense. He's a good prospect. If you can get the shooting to a level that's good enough to draw closeouts, he will be a good player.
Absolutely. All right. So if I had him at 20. Who did you have at 20?
At 20, I have Denny top five at 20.
Okay. I have him a little lower, but yeah.
Yeah. So the thing that's kind of become clear with Denny recently is that like both one and two in this draft are great fits for him. And I think would get the most out of him, but that is still like a fifth starter optimist. Like, that's a solid outcome, is, you know, a fifth starter who fits really seamlessly and adds value without taking up possessions as a cutter, as a team defender, as a spot up shooter, and as a playmaker attacking closeouts and a transition handler. Like, that's a good player, but like really a fourth or fifth starter on a great team. So that's not great value with a top five pick by any means, but it's still something worthwhile. And I think that like, if you're especially a couple of those teams, Minnesota and Golden State, especially, that really can get that out of him, like it does make some sense as a play. Like, there will be five better outcomes than that, unless this is truly the worst draft of all time. Like 2000 had more than, I think, like three or four, fifth starters. It would truly have to be the worst draft of all time for that to make sense. And I think on top of that, there are Ant, I think, can fill a restrictive role that's would return more value than that while having significant upside. And I think Okoro especially can fill like the same role as Denny and just do it better. But yeah, in a situation where Denny can be attacking these off-screen situations, getting downhill, playing in transition, playing as a spot-up guy, I think he can bring a solid amount of value. I think that he could potentially be very valuable as a team defender. Just intelligence, activity, and like effort go a long way, as well as like physicality. So I think that like he could be a good player and probably not worth a top five pick, but at a certain point, like, it's fine.
Yeah, I have him 22. I just really don't like the value, like you said.
Yeah,
it's really problematic. I mean, I think like, again, like one and two good fits, but you go elsewhere. Three, Charlotte definitely should not take Denny. I think the Bulls is probably like the best spot in the top five. I mean,
I like one and two better as fits, but yeah, I mean, like Bulls are fine.
Like, I mean, also accounting for value.
Yeah,
I think,
yeah.
Like, I mean, Cleveland, I don't think should take him. Definitely not. Like, I mean,
yeah, probably not.
No, I mean, like, he, again, like he's going to be a good, I mean, maybe even like a four starter, like if the shooting is good enough. Like, I think he's definitely not a star. I mean, I don't have much else like to add after what you said, but yeah, I mean, just, I get it, especially like, I mean, I certainly wouldn't trade up for Denny, but like, there are certainly teams that, you know, if they did and that's kind of their last piece, I'd understand it. So I mean, in that way, I think like if you move up to five and your team really thinks that Denny puts you over and you draft Denny and he's like a valuable fifth or fourth starter, like that's okay value. Like, again,
like if Golden State or Minnesota were drafting seventh, even though I have Denny something like 12th, I think, on my board. 12th. If they were drafting seventh, go for it. Like really seamless fit, will add a lot to your team, is not going to take much away. And that his value, while it won't be exceptional, will come in ways that don't take possessions from other guys and are very additive. Like,
yeah. And at that point, it's pretty fine value, I think.
Yeah, it's fine. But yeah, if you're talking one or two, it's tough. Top five at all, it's kind of tough. We've done the creation thing to death with him. We've talked about it with PD. I know that I think we've got probably a fair amount of newer listeners at this point. I would say go back and listen to those. Neither of us buys pick and roll equity for Denny, post creation equity. You know, these are things he did at lower levels, but lower levels are an entirely different game. What you can get by as a creator in terms of scoring threat is very, very different. And simply like being able to dribble while being 6'9" can be adequate to allow you to unlock a lot of playmaking that I don't think Denny will have. He hasn't had in EuroLeague for sure. Not really even in BSL, and won't in the NBA. Unless you have anything else, we can get to our next guys.
Let's move on.
Who do you have at 21?
21, I had Hinton 45 plus.
Okay, I've got that at 24, so pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, just talking about like the type of player you want to target late in the second, like just like a wing with some really awesome skills. Yes, he's like functionally a 6'5" forward, as we've talked about plenty. The offense is pretty problematic, but if he shoots spot ups, which I think is definitely in the cards, I don't think he's a non-shooter at all.
He was a good spot up shooter, yeah, exactly. Freshman and sophomore year.
Being a good spot up shooter in college, and you know that's not the be all end all, and you'd like to see more for translation, but still, that's there. Obviously, you know, the special rebounding is just a part of what I think is really special team defense. Like the instincts, the range, making long rotations is pretty unbelievable. On the ball, he's not as good, but I still think he's okay against wings. He has holes, but late in the second, like he's like a legitimate guy who I think could conceivably develop into a valuable rotation player, valuable rotation wing, which like if you can get that on his rookie contract is super valuable. That's why I like Hinton as one of the better plays in this draft.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I've got him Hinton 45 plus at 24. I think he stands above the other like wing projects because of his team defense. Worry about him offensively. I think spot ups there, maybe some playmaking, attacking closeouts, but I think he has like zero on ball equity. Like, don't think that he can pull up at all. Don't really think that he can create out of pick and roll. Like he's not a guard. He's just a 6'5" wing four. Maybe he can't quite sustain his team D impact, but like a kind of a no brainer at that point in the draft, really a worthwhile gamble. A good play. At 21, I have Malachi late first. And then I'll say also at 22, I have whichever guard falls to the mid-second of the group, Mannion, Terry, Maladon, Trey Jones, Cassius Winston, and kind of Devon Dotson. The reason I have Malachi as a separate thing from that is that I think he's just better than those guys, like clearly better than those guys. And so I would prioritize getting Malachi in the late first for all the reasons we discussed in, was that earlier in this episode or was that part one?
Last episode.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, no,
I have no
idea. This one, sorry. It was
so, yeah, for all the reasons we discussed prior, Malachi, I think, is really good. I think he stands above the rest of those guards, and I would therefore invest a first in him. However, this scarcity then comes into play at 22, where I wouldn't really want to spend a first on any of the other guys because I think that they're pretty comparable prospects, and I would just take whichever one doesn't cost me anything. At least one of those guys is going to be available for you in the 45 range. And I would just take whichever one's there. Like, I think that these guys are pretty interchangeable. They fit different ideas of a player. Terry is a guy who needs to be in a motion-heavy offense. He's not really going to have any on-ball equity. You're going to want to get the most you can out of his versatile off-movement shooting. Mannion is kind of similar, but I think with a little bit more on-ball juice. I think at the very least, like more of a second side guy than Terry, who I'm not sure is even really that. Maladon is kind of like similar-ish to them. Trey Jones is, more of a defense first, like spot up and then close out attack guy, I guess. I don't love Trey Jones, but like, if the value, if he's just like there and basically free, it's fine. Cash, unbelievable shooter, unbelievable pull-up shooter, will be a terrible defensive player, but like very good pick and roll player, fine with him. And Dotson, more of an off-ball guard, but like ideally a valuable on-ball guard defender who can also like attack closeouts, get to the rim at with ease. I think they're all kind of different. Like some skew more on the ball, some skew more off the ball, but like pretty interchangeable. Would just kind of take whoever's there in the mid-second.
Yeah, I mean, I have a couple of these guys. I have Mallard. The only guys I have Maladon and Nico in my top 30. I didn't include any of the guys. Terry, yeah. I think Terry's stock is kind of rising to the point where I'm kind of uncomfortable with it.
Is it? I think it's you'll falling.
See, really, I've seen him like. I mean, you'll see some people have him like there's some like intel in quotes that will have him like lottery.
I
kind of think that becoming, I think, more widespread. Like,
well, then, yeah, don't take Tyrell Terry. But right. I think the point is there are so many guards that some of them or one of them
and I got it.
Is going to be available very late. That's the one you should take. Unless you're taking Malachi, you should take High.
Yeah. All right. So what are we on?
22nd now?
Two?
Your 22nd was Denny?
Yeah, that was Denny for me.
Okay. What do you have 23rd?
23rd, I have Tyshawn UDFA.
Okay, I've got that a bit lower in another, I started cheating at 22 because this got weird.
This got bad quickly. Like,
yeah, this is where it got really bad. Where yeah, it's like,
I would
okay,
say after Hinton for me, I was like, yeah, this is bad.
After whichever guard falls, I did not really want to do any of these badly.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a drop off. I
mean, okay, so talk Tyshawn.
Yeah, I mean Tyshawn Alexander, Creighton guard, like is like a 6 foot, what like 6'4" off guard, but like has some like really special lateral movement capability. Like really, like just absolutely gets into guys, is kind of unbelievable moving around screens and mirroring on the ball, and has some good team D moments, and is a pretty dang good shooter as well. Like with some passing, not a creator, not a finisher, has problems just being like a skinny 6'4" off guard, but like with some real special skills, like if he's a guy you can get on a two way, like he's a guy I would take like comfortably in the mid second. So if you can get him on a two way, that's just, exactly what you want to do. And like a really easy pathway to see, oh, here's this guy who we got in the two-way who's magically a rotation player for us late in the season. Like, just a guy who finds his role playing defense and hitting spot-ups, maybe some off-movement stuff, passing off of closeouts. I mean, he's just a really good player just someone who just should way outperform his current value as, like, a late second to undrafted type prospect.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've got him a little lower because I think that he's more, like, NBA player than definite rotation player. A big thing from our pal Zach Milner has been that Tyshawn is maybe getting a little either overrated or misconstrued as a defender, that he's more of a chasing off screens guy than a point of attack guy. Like, he actually does concede a fair amount of dribble penetration. Like, I wouldn't say he's bad at the point of attack, but like his specialty is chasing off screens.
Yeah.
And maybe that's increasingly becoming a like relevant archetype, but yeah, it's niche. So I like Tyshawn. I've got, for that reason, I've got him grouped with some other guys later. But yeah, I would take him in the mid second also. Like, I think he's going to be an NBA player. He's pretty good. Yeah. So at 23, I have Wiseman top 3. Don't love it.
I actually didn't have him at all in my top 30.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But at this point, it's just like not anything that I really want to do. And like,
that's why
the argument for Wiseman top 3 is that, like, I think he'll be a pretty good regular season player. Like, he will soak up minutes and I think be like a somewhat of a positive on both ends. Like, he's probably going to be a solid enough rim protector on account of, like, he's made strides reining himself in as a decision maker. He was not as jumpy in the 3 games at Memphis, and definitely in that Hoop Summit game. Like, that Hoop Summit game, he looked like an unbelievable rim protector. But yeah, gotten less jumpy as a rim protector. I think that once the pick and roll coverages are simplified for him, he will probably make strides pretty quickly. Like, we saw a lot of confusion in those 3 games about what he should be doing. Saw some really weird, like, is he hedging this? Is this like a soft coverage? Is he in a full-on drop? Like, we don't really know. He clearly doesn't know. I think once he's just playing a drop all the time, it'll be better. Definitely needs to develop feel in the drop, where to position himself, when to recover. But he's enormous. Like, he should deter lobs pretty well. I think like he will be a pretty good role man, even with like kind of weird hands and being a load leaper. I think he'll be a pretty good role man just on the count. He's huge. He is a much more willing screener than the other non-Onyeka freshman bigs, and just a much better screener. He has that early offense duck-in ability, and it's really just like, you know, he gets a seal and then it's a dunk because he's so much larger than everyone else, and that's like will still be the case in the NBA. Will be a useful transition player. Like, I just think that this is a guy who's going to be solid.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I think he's definitely solid. Just, I don't think the value's there in the top three. I mean, I know you don't either.
No, I don't. That's why.
I mean, there's other plays I'd prefer, you know, lower level guys. I mean, I just don't like Wiseman top three for obvious reasons. But yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be a solid starting center. Question if he can really do it in the playoffs or in higher leverage minutes, which is very important towards the top of the draft. But
for sure. But I think that as a guy who's like a floor raiser, and also this is going to come into play with a few of these guys late for me, trade value, like he should probably maintain it pretty well. Like he'll be pretty productive and like a solid regular season team on a team that's not going to play in the playoffs most likely. So, yeah, I think like he'll be a fine player. And we're at a point where these are not guys I feel like they're fine NBA players. So at that point, it's like, yeah, you might be wildly overpaying to get that fine player, but you know, at the end of the day, a like solid, mildly overpaid NBA player who has solid trade value is probably a better bet than a non-NBA player, even if you get the non-NBA player for free. That's kind of what's going to come into play for these last few guys for me, because at this point, like, I think we've kind of run out of confident NBA player bets.
Yeah, I mean, I have a couple more of these fringy guys like here. Like 24, I have Maladon late first. Like we talked about Maladon.
Yeah, so and that's the thing, because I cheated, but also like kind of screwed myself by grouping these guys.
Like 30, I have Nico. So like I'll just get those guys out of the way. Like, I mean, I agree with what you said. Like just both solid guards I could pretty comfortably see fitting into NBA roles, like as, you know, off guard, different off guards, but I think both functionally, I mean, obviously not primaries, not secondaries either. Maybe a little more secondary upside with Maladon just because he's so young and was good in the EuroLeague, but, you know, has a lot of problems. And
I think Nico in some ways has that also. Like, I think Nico is at, like, attacking against a tilted defense. Like, I think that he's, like, quite a smart passer and pretty functional and, like, has a good runner game. Like, I the finishing, yeah, is always going to be really, really bad with him. But, like, I think that he was made to look a lot worse by having crazy on-ball load.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly was in a terrible situation.
Yeah, I think he actually does have some, like, pretty real secondary equity. Honestly, maybe even more than Maladon. Yeah. But
I'm lower on it. I just don't buy, like I said, the finishing early don't buy. I just don't buy the creation really to the necessary degree. But I mean, I get why you think he does. Like, so yeah, those two cards. So what are we on now?
Well, Wiseman was my 23rd. What was your
23rd? That was Tyshawn.
Okay.
Maladon was 24. So we kind of skipped around a little bit, but
all right. 24. I had Hinton 45 plus,
25. What did you have?
I had Hallie 4-10.
Okay. I had Obi top five.
Okay. Yeah, that's going to be soon for me. So Hallie 4-10, I would not do it. I don't think it's a good idea. But kind of similar idea to Denny that like he could be a ceiling raiser as a fourth or fifth starter. He is a guy I worry about more late game, that like maybe he's someone who can really be picked on, that he'll kind of be ignored offensively and really like targeted defensively in an effective manner, and that concerns me. But I think he can be a ceiling raiser. I think that like if you put him on Phoenix, he would
say that
he would elevate their ceiling.
I wouldn't like I mean, I don't like Halliburton that high, but like if Phoenix takes him at 10, I get it. Like,
I mean, Washington, he would elevate Washington. Yeah. He would, he depending on how you want to play as Atlanta, he could elevate you. Like, he can do it. It's just not going to be that significant.
Yeah.
There are teams that it would make sense for him very high, or not very high, but like almost that high maybe. But yeah, like there are a few spots where like, yeah, if you squint, like he can raise your ceiling a solid amount, even if he himself is not that spectacular. You know, we don't see the creation equity with him. I don't think it's really a good usage of assets, but like,
yeah,
I get it. Like,
yeah. So again, I had Obi top five. Again, I would not do it myself. I would not be happy with Obi top five, but I would prefer him to Wiseman personally, just because, yes, the defense is going to be horrific. I think probably a little higher on it than you, but like, I don't think I'm very high at all on Obi's defense. Like,
yeah, I definitely prefer Wiseman.
Yeah, I prefer Obi just in general.
Like, there's a world in which, like, there are situations, I think, in which Wiseman could actually play late in games. Like, if you're not playing against a crazy pull-up threat, like, Wiseman might be workable. Like, Obi, I don't think there's any scenario in which he can.
There's, like, a context where he's good enough offensively to where it's worth. So, I mean, I think that's, like, a 90th plus percentile outcome.
Or if he's playing against a team that is closing with a total non-shooter.
Sure, like, exactly. Yeah. I think there are scenarios. I don't think either Wiseman or him like really are going to be like guys you want to throw out in high leverage situations.
No.
You know, for different reasons. I mean, Obi brings so much more on offense. And I think, though I'm not like a huge believer in the ceiling like some are, I do think the offense is going to be has a chance to be really, really good for a big man. Not that, you know, not like the Cat Jokic special offensive big man that you really need to justify someone that bad at defense that high. But I mean, I think that the ceiling for him is really, really good. And on a good team, you know, in the top five could really get a lot out of that offense. Again, like not something I would want to do at all, but at this point it's kind of bleak. And I think just for like a really, really high level offensive big man at this point, like him in the top five in like the right situation, like I guess like it, I would understand it if the situation is right, but like again, like not something I'm enthusiastic about by any means.
Yeah, Obi top five is 27 for me, so I have one more thing in between this, but yeah, I think that comparing him to Wiseman is kind of instructive. I think that Wiseman doesn't compromise you from a team building standpoint the way Obi does. Like Obi, you have to find a very, very specific compliment, and those guys like don't really exist. It's maybe Kristaps Porzingis. Like that is the Obi Toppin compliment. Anthony Davis, I guess. Like there are not that many of these guys. So yeah, I think compromises you enough from a team building standpoint that I really wouldn't want to do it. Whereas Wiseman, I don't think really compromises you. He's just like, you know,
doesn't really elevate, I think.
Yeah, like I doesn't quite elevate you on one end in the same way. And yeah. And
I get like, preferring one over the other. I mean,
yeah, and can't play late games either. Yeah, I think there are more scenarios where Wiseman is going to be a closing guy if you're not playing against like a nuclear pull-up shooter. And if you're really like a very good deep drop team like Milwaukee, and you have like guys who can really get over screens, maybe there are more scenarios where you can play Wiseman late. Obviously the short area quickness is not gonna, like, it's gonna always be a problem. Like his hips will never be good enough. And he's just like, won't add that much value on offense or like won't be like a special rim protector, but like, I think he could conceivably be pretty good and like able to play if surrounded the right way, like maybe can play late more than we think he can. So I think compromises you less, have more opportunity to play.
Yeah. And then I think Obi, the counter to that, I mean, yes, Obi compromises you more and, you know, in less situations can he close, but I think if you find that situation, he's just more effective and adds more value.
Definitely. Yeah, I think that's
why I prefer him.
That's a very fair take. I think that it's unrealistic to envision a scenario where you could enable that, but I think that's a fair take that, yeah, in the perfect scenario, he can elevate you more. Yeah, I'm a little skeptical of the top end offensive impact from him as a purely complimentary guy, but I think that, like, you know, he could be the best complimentary big man in the entire league offensively.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just really, really low on him defensively, like really, really low. Yeah, we've discussed that in the past a lot. He, I think, is a scheme breaking defender. and won't be able to play late. But yeah, like at a certain point, could be a very valuable offensive player and someone worth gambling on when you're out of like NBA bets.
Yeah.
Right, so, that was my 27th. So my 26th is what I'm up to. What are you up to?
26 as well.
Okay, so I have Jaden late first at 26.
I had Jaden late first at 28.
Okay. Yeah, so like we were talking about earlier with the three and rim protection forwards, Pat Will's the best. I think Jaden is a little bit better than Woodard and Tyler Bay. Are there any other ones in that range?
So those were the two I had, like
Jalen. Yeah, like Jalen Smith. Yeah, I think that Jaden is just better than those guys, to the point where he's one that I would actually pay for. I think he's like on my normal board is like the last guy I would feel comfortable taking in the first. I think he's 26th actually on my normal 25th. Yeah, he's like the last guy I would really feel comfortable taking in the first. Like his interior team defense, you know, doesn't have the physicality and strength of Pat Will, but has length and has, I think, pretty solid instincts there, though TBD, because his awareness in high school was catastrophic and looked much better in Washington's zone. But that's definitely a lot more scripted and easier to understand. Offensively, I think I'm a little bit higher on him than most. Like, people get so down on him because they think of him as like a creator prospect, but he's not. And seems like finally we backed off of the crazy Jaden McDaniels number one overall stuff. But I think that he's like kind of interesting.
The longest draft ever.
Yeah. I think he's kind of interesting as a like complimentary wing forward that like, I think he'll shoot spot ups and he can cover ground like really easily with his size. Just like his strides can be pretty huge. And then that he does have that like weirdly effective handle. He has like legit shake with his handle. Maybe that like isn't worth anything to him except maybe in transition. Like, he should obviously never be doing anything that resembles creation. It will end terribly. He will, you know, get bullied and will take awful shots and will just make the worst possible decisions. But as a purely complimentary guy, like just a spot up close out attack guy, I like him a decent amount. So yeah, three and rim protection. Think he's a little bit better than the alternatives to the point that I would pay for him.
Yeah, I have Jaden 28. I like him less than you. I have Woodard and Bay both ahead of him in this exercise, but only because I think like you can get them later.
I don't know that you can.
I think you can. I mean, like from like the team, like it seems like Woodard is kind of going like around mid second. I've seen Bay everywhere.
Is he? He's yeah. Top 30 on the ESPN best available, and I think that's like supposed to be their board.
Yeah,
but
I mean, that hasn't been updated in a while. I think.
Okay.
Like, and I think Bay like seems like I saw a mock today with him at 50 from like a fairly reputable site. I've seen something with him like late first, early second. So I just had for him. I think of like all of these guys is pretty comparable. I think Jaden's the best as well. I think Jaden's better than Tyler Bay and Woodard as well. But Woodard just being the one that I think you can get the latest. I had him 26th. Just because I mean, like yeah, Woodard is like a you know load leaper, but you know definitely some explosion and some potential as a rim protector on defense. And then you're just again three in rim protection. I think he has some passing as well.
He does, yeah.
Definitely the most playmaking out of – best decision-making, I think, most passing out of the three.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, and then Bay is my least favorite of the three. But, I think you can get him later than Jaden is what it seems. I mean, I might be wrong in my evaluation of that, and if I am,
so
I'd switch this.
Yeah, I'd like to add that I was thinking of these guys as they're all going to cost you a late first, in which case I strongly prefer Jaden. But if Woodard is going to cost you a mid-second, you probably I think Jaden is – better enough as a prospect that I would probably still rather take him in the first, but the gap would be a lot smaller. But yeah. my Woodard Bay
yeah, that's fair.
Jaden thing is based on them all costing a late first, yeah, in which okay. case I prefer Jaden
by yeah, that's fair. I would have Jaden first as well in that case. I mean, I think he's the best of those guys, even if not by as significant a margin as you do. But yeah, I mean Bay, you know, really has some really awesome interior team D moments, rim protection. Steals, really strong and explosive, just lots of pretty inconsistent struggles on the perimeter. And then I just don't like his offense at all. I just don't know what he does. Like, I think
the movement three, that's it.
Sure. Yeah, I think the spot up can be fine. Like, I don't know.
He has some role man equity.
I don't know. He's just small. Like
he's, yeah, but he's really vertically explosive.
Yeah, I just would I'm skeptical of a team actually using him that way.
I don't know. I think we're seeing it more that like wing forwards are used as role man. Derek Jones Jr. gets used as a role man a fair amount. We see Jalen Brown do it sometimes.
Yeah.
Iggy. You know, we yeah. see it. What's his face? Robertson does it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm skeptical. Like,
but yeah, I think we could see it. Yeah. But I mean, I agree with you. I like Jaden more than these guys. And yeah. Bay is like erratic and weird and like has a weird reputation as a team defender that like, yes, his high points are the
highest of these guys.
Are like class best. Like his some of his recognition, mobility, and vertical combinations are just, nuts.
The consistency is just really
he
bad.
Misses so many rotations. Like yeah, he's in the erratic group with Paul Reed and like Jhené. And
even if he's, I think, you know, the highs are higher for Bay.
Oh yeah, much higher,
much better, but like
much higher. Yeah, and I like even like with his weird offensive game, I like what he offers a lot more than like Reed. Where like I think that Bay could actually shoot enough, and I think the role man stuff is there with him. But yeah, he didn't make my top 30 as a play. Like, I think he's probably going to cost you. If he costs you a first, I don't really want him.
Oh, sure. Yeah. All right. So what next? You kind of jumped around there.
Yeah. So I had OB top 5, 27. What was your 27th?
26, 27, 28 was Woodard, Bay, Jaden.
Okay. So what are you, 28? What are you up to?
29. The only guy we haven't talked about for me is 29. I have Najee Marshall, 45 plus.
Listen up, fellas, because today we have a new Manscaped product alert. Manscaped just released the Weed Whacker Nose and Ear Hair Trimmer. Take a look in the mirror and I guarantee you'll see hair sticking out of those holes. It's time to keep your ear and nose hair looking as nice as your clean-shaven pubes. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Weed Whacker. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. The premium Manscaped Weed Whacker uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. Its intelligently contoured design enhances the trimming experience, and it's waterproof, which makes for easy operation and cleaning. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com, and use the code armchair. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds.
Okay, so yeah, 28, I have UDFA wing. I'm not particular about them, but I have, and these are guys that, like range from 2 to 4s basically. So just UDFA wing, Tyshawn, Jalen Harris, Najee Marshall, Sam Merrill, Trace Tinkle, Mason Jones, Justinian Jessup, Christian Doolittle, and Trent Forrest.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I mean, you could talk specifically about Najee because I like don't really care between these guys. I just like will take whichever one would sign with me as a UDFA.
Yeah, I mean, Najee's my favorite of those guys you mentioned, but I mean, I get that. Yeah, I mean, I like Najee quite a bit as like an upside bet. Just like a 6'7" Xavier, really impressive slasher. Like the footwork, the burst, attacking off the catch, it's really really good. Some explosions of finisher, the length. And then as a passer, he has some really impressive moments too. You know, live dribble functionality, skips, pocket passes. Just the shot is a big issue. I mean, he's one of like the if you can get him to shoot guys, he'd be really potent as like an off-ball attacker, I think. And then defensively, like really great trailing around screens, some solid team D moments, even if he's inconsistent there, tends to lapse. But you know, the another one of these like off-screen guys, but unlike Tyshawn, he's like 6'7". So yeah, I mean, he's a guy who I like quite a bit, and yeah, I mean, if I'm getting him as a UDFA, I mean, I might have it a little bit higher than this, like, but yeah, I mean, certainly like 45 plus UDFA, the type of guy you want to spend a mid late second or a two way on, just wing rotation player potentially on a rookie deal, like that's valuable.
Yeah, that's kind of why I grouped them because I don't know which ones are going to go undrafted, but some of them definitely will. The order in which I listed them is the order I prefer them. So yeah, Tyshawn we talked about. Jalen Harris, I talked about last week that was not giving him enough credit on the defensive end. And like he's a pretty interesting shooting prospect.
Yeah, he's a pretty complete scorer. I mean.
Yeah, I've always kind of been lower on him as a vertical athlete. I know people like him there, but I've kind of not really seen it. But like, yeah, he's a like pretty good self-creator. I don't love him as a decision maker. He's got some versatile shooting while being like a not terrible defensive prospect at 6'5". Like, yeah, that's something. I would definitely take, like, he's, I don't know if he's going to get drafted. I feel like he might, but also might not. And I would take whichever these guys goes undrafted. Then I have Najee, who, yeah, I agree with. Really interesting slasher, like great footwork off the catch. Skilled finisher with, like, I think pretty diverse, crafty finishes and just like great length. Interesting as a defender. Yeah, definitely has some like multi-positional blanketing guys moments. Yeah, like he's pretty interesting if you can get him to shoot. Sam Merrill, I do think is kind of like one of the better bets as if you're looking for that sort of off guard with plus role passing. And like really is pretty underrated defensive prospect. Like, he was not bad at Utah State. Like, he can avoid and fight over screens. Like, he's a smart and active team defender. Like, obviously has athletic limitations, but like, I think he'll be a fine defensive player while being a very good shooter with like plus ball skills and passing for the role. I think like definitely someone worthwhile as a UDFA. Like, if he can like improve athletically, like 5 to 10%, he's like an NBA guy. He's really slow, but if he could just get a little less slow, I feel pretty comfortable with him as an NBA guy. Trace Tinkle, kind of similar. He's just large and can shoot. He's very old, but he's large and can shoot.
Yeah.
Mason Jones, we've talked about Mason Jones so much. He's weird, interesting, has some space creation ability, has his weird finishing, can probably shoot. Odd player, would take him as a UDFA for sure. Justinian Jessup, kind of an old favorite, 6'6" wing. He can shoot, has some like some creation ability, like can space create a little bit, can pass a little bit. So like, yeah, just like has probably not plus for the role, but like has some ability to like, definitely I think he could attack a closeout and shoot a floater, kick out off like a closeout attack. Doolittle, weirdo, maybe a good shooter, not really sure. Never shoot spot ups, but great off the dribble shooter.
Like the best 6'8 plus off dribble shooter in the country, actually.
Yeah, like has some okay passing moments, but like I think they're usually pretty scripted action. Defensively, very stiff, but like not bad. I don't know if he's like an NBA wing. He's maybe like a 4. He's not that good, but like he can maybe shoot and is 6'8". I don't know. I would take him as a UDFA. Like I'm not inspired by him, but he's fine. Trent Forrest, like, with I guess a college point guard, but like, again, pretty large. If great, you can teach,
great defender. I mean,
yeah, great defender, great runner. If you can teach him to shoot, he'll be a valuable like 2-ish guy. But yeah, any of those guys as a UDFA, I feel like they're pretty. Like I mean, I have preferences between them, but not like that strong.
All right. Is there anybody else you have
at all on my best plays?
Yes.
So yeah, I have two more things. One is another multi-person one, and one is just one guy. Because I got to 29, and I was like, all right, am I just gonna leave this as 29 plays that I think are worthwhile, or can I find one more? And I found one more. So 29th, I have late stash. So I'm thinking this is like last 10 picks of the draft. One of Rokas Jokubaitis, Georgios Kalaitzakis, Arturs Kurucs, or Alexa Radinov.
No Borza, no Simonich.
Yeah, like you could throw him in there. He's probably never going to be an NBA guy. But yeah, I don't. What?
Never mind.
Well, I mean, Simonich, like, he can't move at all and refuses to shoot.
He could be a really good big. I mean, I know he doesn't shoot, but I think he could be a really good big.
Yeah, he's a great shooter. He just has zero willingness to ever shoot.
Yeah. I would take just the chance of that over a guy. I don't know. Like I really don't like Radinov very much.
Okay. Like, yeah, I mean, fair enough. But yeah, these guys, all guys I would stash, would definitely spend last 10 picks of the draft or something like that on stashing them. Rokas as a really nice backup point guard prospect. Kuroks is like a combo guard who's a really good shooter, and Kalaitzakis and Radunov as like wingy types with some slashing ability, and if they can shoot, they're maybe like real NBA bets. And then finally, Ben, at number 30, I have podcast favorite Zeke Nagy, in the early second. I was really, really searching for something.
I was ready for you to say something really dumb, and I was gonna.
Yeah, I was searching for something here.
Computer, it's like Paul Nua, UDFA.
Oh God, no, but Zeke Nagy, compared to the other big men, like I guess I would rather have Zeke Nagy. Like he's really soft, but he can move at a very impressive level. He's not quite quick twitch enough for me. Like there's some reaction time delay there that's annoying with him as a mover, yeah. But like he is a really good mover, like has legit big man size. I buy him as a shooter. I think he could be, yeah, like big men who can move like Zeke Nagy and shoot at a respectable level are kind of rare commodities, and I would be happy to spend a late second or early second on him, especially compared to the other big men option. Like there's not really like a mobile shooting big option besides like Tilly, who might never be able to play.
Yeah, I don't love Nagy, but like I get taking him early second. I mean, if you need a big, he certainly provides a more interesting option than a lot of the big men projection in that range, you know, the Oturus, the Carries of the world. Like certainly a more interesting option in terms of, you know, actually having like a pretty difficult to find NBA role, even if, you know, he's the value is limited because of other things, but you know, the movement plus shooting, you know, not movement shooting, but and shooting is pretty valuable.
That would be nice. If Zeke Nagy had movement shooting, he would be a pretty interesting prospect.
Yeah.
But, I mean, nonetheless, he's like, okay.
Yeah, but can play the if X prospect had X skill game, where would you have him game?
At what point did you like really hit a wall with this and be like, I don't want to do any of these things?
I told you it was kind of like after Denny, which is 22. I'm pretty sure I even texted you. I'm like, this is rough. Like,
yeah, you did. You said it was bleak, I think.
Yeah. I'm like, this is bleak. I'm like, this is not fun. Like, I mean, I didn't even think to like combine guys. It would be even worse if I did that. But like, yeah, I mean, that just shows like another, you know, every time we do one of these like ceiling board, meeting board, and every time we do an exercise like this, it like our conclusion is always this draft sucks. Let's get it over with.
Yeah, like I kind of like the plays through 22, which was my whichever guard falls, and then it was just like, wow,
there's some really good ones like at the top and towards the middle, but like,
yeah, that middle range really does have some really solid plays. Yeah, like
10 to 25, there's gonna be so many steals. Like
yeah, just like worthwhile bets. There are a lot of worthwhile bets in the 10 to 20 range.
Yeah, but it gets bleak fast. Like I'm excited to, you know, God willing, do this for future drafts and see where this kind of stacks up. But yeah, I mean, it's not great.
Yeah, the one thing that I think is pretty striking is, I mean, how many second round guys did we have? Like, there are not guys I feel passionate about in the second round.
Like, no, after like 50, I just like tear it because I think there's just like not that many guys at all. Like,
no, but like which guys that are realistically going in the second are you like gonna fight for? I feel like there's almost no one. Like Nate Hinton, Nate Hinton.
I'll fight for Tilly. Like,
yes, yeah, okay. Nate Hinton, Tilly.
Like, I mean, there's, I mean, depends on the mock, like if, like, early second, like, Bane,
Malibu. Sure, yeah. No, but I mean, guys.
Second, I mean, Bulmaro, you see in mid-second sometimes.
But I mean, guys who are, like, distinctly second-round picks. Like, Killian Tilly will go in the second. Nate Hinton will go in the second. Like so not Isaiah Joe, yeah, not Bulmaro.
So, yeah, it's pretty much just, like, Hinton and Tilly, if I'm being honest. Yeah. I mean, like, I'm kind of quietly getting on, like, the I will fight for Najee Marshall train. Like,
yeah,
but like even then, like I have issues. Like I don't like him nearly as much as Tilly or like.
Yeah, it's like I like that undrafted free agent wing group that I came up with. Like
there's a lot of guys I like prospects I like guys like I don't know, like Cassius I like Ndoye I like Rokas, like, but I'm not gonna like fight for them, like.
Yeah, it gets bleak. After those, like, 24, 25 guys that I would take in the first, it's pretty bleak. Yeah. And granted, like in real life, some of these guys that we're not confident in are going to go in the first. Sadiq Bey is going to go in the first. Aaron Nesmith is going to go in the first. Precious Achiuwa. Oh man! All right, don't agitate me for no reason.
Jamias and Cassius Stanley might go in the first max.
Yeah, Cassius is like less offensive to me than Jamias Ramsey. He's not good. He like doesn't do anything. His games are like the easiest watches because he doesn't do anything ever.
Yeah,
he's
athletic as I don't think on like an XY graph of like athleticism and like does things, he's like all the way at the bottom left.
Yeah, it's really weird. Yeah, because like he just like exists and doesn't really do anything. And yeah, like every once in a while he'll have a crazy transition dunk or like a crazy baseline out of bounds dunk. Like he has some awesome dunks, but just like on a game, yeah. Like on a play-by-play basis, he does so little. He's just like
probably to me like the most consistently invisible prospect.
Yeah, he's just like so vanilla,
which is a problem. I mean, like,
well, honestly, might be like a good thing for him in that like just being vanilla and his height like might land him in the NBA. I think probably will land him in the
NBA. No, it certainly will.
Yeah, he just doesn't do anything. He's less actively bad than other guys. Well, but definitely is like bad too. But
shall we move on to catching eye?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. You only have one guy to talk about, right?
Two. Okay. Two guys.
So you want to go first?
Well, yeah. So the first one I think is kind of like a real discussion. We'll make it relatively quick. It's 2021 Jalen Suggs, a guy who in the past we've both been very high on. On this pass through of watching Under Armour and some more Minnehaha games, I've lowered on him. I see what other people are saying.
Yeah, as have I. I mean, I've been low for a decent bit now.
Okay. Yeah, so his handle is really bad. It's like strikingly bad for a guard. He like really frequently just gets his handle picked.
Or just loses it. Like it's really ant-like in that. Like he just loses it under no pressure.
Yeah, it is really weird. Like there are so many instances of him just losing the ball. So yeah, his handle is really bad. Like the only dribble move he has is an in and out, and he kind of has it with both hands, and it's like fairly compact and okay. But like it's the only thing he can do. But yeah, like he has no ball control. And then you add to that like I don't know what level of shooter he is. He could be anywhere from like below average to very good. Yeah, I think
I'm pretty confident in him being at least good. I mean,
yeah,
with like the free throws and the touch consistently. And then
he takes some crazy shots,
like some crazy off movement, deep pull ups. And he makes them takes them confidently. They're good. And he makes them.
I watched a Minnehaha game where he dropped 41.
Yeah.
He
hit some Hopkins.
Against Hopkins. Yeah.
Yeah. That one is. Yeah. He had crazy deep pull ups. Okay.
He hits.
I'm pretty confident in the shooting. Like I am too,
which is why
mostly TBD, but like. Still,
yeah,
that's one of the things I'm excited to see at Gonzaga. But
and I like him as a passer. I think that like he really does have some good manipulative moments, like where he can really mess with a weak side defender. He's not amazing, but I do think he's pretty good. I think he is like a really high field player. I like him a lot as a defender.
Oh, I love his defense.
Like for a guard defender, his activity off the ball is so good at that age. Like he's so good with stunts and positioning.
Was it in the Hopkins game where he like disrupted like a ball handler and like perfectly timed like a recovery block? Like I think
maybe I don't really remember.
His team defense is so good.
Yeah, it's really good. He can like float around the nail and just muck things up. Like he's a really good guard defender. I think he's a pretty good shooter, but TBD on that. The secondary passing will be nice. He can't dribble at all. Great 2-foot athlete. I think kind of similar to Cole in that like small guard who's a great 2-foot athlete, like kind of enables some things as a team defender that you don't usually see. The other thing I wanted to say with his sort of creation abilities that when he does get to the rim, like he is a crafty finisher and an ambidextrous finisher, but already his lack of length shows up really badly. Like he gets blocked a lot. He just doesn't have that. Like I think he's got about a neutral wingspan and he just doesn't have that last little bit of extension. So I think he's going to be a pretty bad finisher.
He also doesn't get like a lot of easy finishes considering how explosive he is. Like I actually kind of I'm probably a decent bit higher in the finishing than you are, but like, yeah, I think he's a really good, like, tough finisher, but he just doesn't get easy finishes. Like, he just doesn't get enough easy dunks and layups in the half court. I mean, he gets some, but even then, like, he takes and makes more than you'd want of the contest variety, which, you know, as we talked about last week with PD about the heuristic is pretty important. I'm talking about lead guards being able to consistently get those easy buckets in the half court.
Yeah, so Jalen Suggs, end of the day, I don't know where you're at with him. I'm like late lottery at this point. I think he's
like 11, 12-ish.
Yeah, I think he's a really, really interesting, like, secondary, not even secondary creator prospect, but like complementary guard prospect, because his defense is so good and his shooting might be really good. That, like, especially in the with how the NBA is trending with bigger creators. Yeah. I think that there's a lot, like, because they're just going to need to be really good defensive players also. Like, Suggs is really, like, hopefully the mold of this guy that we're seeing more and more. And I think he's really good at it, but, you know, not a big-time creator prospect, I don't think.
Do you prefer him or Jaden Springer?
I'm going to reserve judgment until I circle back on Springer. I have in the past preferred Suggs, but viewing them through the same, like, secondary guy prism, I'm open to preferring Springer. I tentatively have Springer higher, and the, like, the size stuff with Springer is going to come into play. And like Springer is likewise a special guard defender prospect, like
different,
more of an on-ball guy.
Yeah, I think they're pretty comparable. I mean, I just think Suggs is that good on the team side. Springer's certainly a special on-ball guard defender. I just have, like, a lot of questions about Springer's offense.
Yeah, so do I.
Like, probably even maybe even more than Suggs, because I don't think his passing is good and I don't think his shooting is good. I tend to like Springer a little worse. I like one spot apart. Yes, like, also, like, Springer is like a whole year younger.
Yeah, that Suggs is super old.
Yeah, Suggs. Also. Yeah, Suggs. Yeah, Suggs is June 3rd, 2001, and I know Jaden's 2002. Yeah,
Jaden's crazy young.
Yeah, he's September 25, 2002. So, like, he's like a whole, quite almost a year younger. Like, he's very,
very young. I'm not committing to anything on Springer, but I will say almost definitely same tier.
Yeah.
Kind of think of them similarly. Curious to see where the shooting turns out with both of these guys. Size for Springer, like, if he's a wing, I'm a lot more interested.
Oh yeah, I mean, if Springer's 6'7 or 6'8, that changes the calculus. But at this point, I'm not gonna bank on that now.
No, we'll see. We'll see. Right.
What else did you have?
Lamine Jhené. I started watching him. Yeah, like, haven't fully formed my opinion on him. Haven't added him to my board yet. But weird player. The process with him is almost always terrible, and the results are frequently good. So he has, like, unbelievably poor footwork and, just does things that are not advisable, like concedes a lot of space to, like, a guy who's driving, but then he would just, like, will jump up and totally swat volleyball style the ball into the stands. Like, he is a very impressive athlete. But on both ends, he just goes barreling into people. His footwork on offense is bizarre and, like, not good. Like, he has these post possessions where, like, his footwork is a mess, but, like, he's working really quickly and people can't really, like, move as quickly as he can. And then he's long and kind of just the ball ends up in the basket. He's entertaining and chaotic. Someone that I would probably, like, at least on very, very early viewing, invest a two-way in. Not sure I'd draft him, but a real prospect and very, very weird. He tries incredibly hard. He's entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, I like him. I'd certainly draft him at the ending of the draft. Like the guys with that level of physical tools, unbelievable motor, you know, some flashes of skill and intelligence. Like, he's what you want in, like, a project kind of wing forward. So I like him.
Yeah. You've seen a lot more of him than I have. How do you feel about his intelligence? Cause it seemed like there was definitely some process delay on him as a passer off defensively. I thought that, like,
I think the positioning is pretty inconsistent, but there are some real flashes. I think the tools certainly and the motor cover up a lot of the instincts at this level.
Yeah, which is concerning.
I mean, that's kind of what I think. Offensively, I don't like it. I don't like the passing, really. The field decision-making is kind of bad to me.
Kind of bad,
yeah.
That's very generous.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty good. I mean, again, like the type of guy I'd like to use a two-way on and get in my like G League system to hopefully develop and see what he turns into.
Yeah, he's a real prospect. That's like, I feel like that's a fair way of saying it. Like, yeah. He's a real like forwardy wing prospect. Yeah. I'm not positive Paul Reed is a better prospect than him by any means. Like,
yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, he's like a lot of chaotic energy. In college, it was like kind of frequently channeled into good results, but
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, all right, go ahead with your guys.
So, again, pass through some 2021 returners. Quickly wanted to mention, still don't think Trace Jackson Davis is good. Keep on giving him chances and keep on getting hurt. So,
I love it.
I will never understand it. I mean, I we did this on an old episode. I'm not going to do it again, but like, I don't understand the appeal of like an old 6'9" big who can't shoot or dribble or pass, and he's inconsistent defensively.
Or do anything with his right hand.
Elite lefty finisher, no doubt. With
Dick, crazy. Like has the control. And then some Kobe Clark.
Also some crazy impressive defensive movements. You know, he can move really well. Moves really well for his size, and some really impressive quick rim protection stuff. But it's just not good enough for my liking. I mean, I don't see it.
What do you have him as, like a mid second guy?
Yeah, just about. Like, I mean, that's his range. I certainly has some upside, but like not someone I'm enthused by really. And then a couple guys. I gave James Booknight, UConn, another pass through. Still not crazy enthused by him, but I'm kind of starting to get it a little bit more with him. He's pretty big.
Yeah, he is.
Like, which is kind of the thing with him. Like, he lacks real burst, and the handle also is really not that great. So like he doesn't really hit the easy ones. But he's kind of like when he's asked to create. He doesn't really, he's not really able to, you know, get easy shots himself, but like he's a pretty dang good off ball player. Like he's a really good cutter, super explosive when he has even any space to leap and explode. The touch is awesome. You know, like another one of these guys that doesn't really get easy shots, but makes the tough floaters and tough mid ranges. I'm pretty on the shot. I think it's fine. There's some versatility. And a little bit of volume. The pull up, the footwork on the pull up, especially with the lower body, is not always consistent. I think the shooting will be fine. I think it'll be a fine enough off guard shooter. And then I think the passing got better. Like especially, I think it's like the East Carolina game. You saw quite a bit more good passing. Some like off ball pocket passes, kind of similar to Tyrell Terry, I think, as a passer. That's kind of my comparison for him. I think he can do some passing off the ball. On ball, not sold. And then defensively, I think he's actually could be really good. Like he's really long and really big and like can be really disruptive off the ball, like playing the passing lanes. I don't love him as an on ball defender just because I don't think he moves the best. He doesn't really navigate screen super well. Don't love his lateral quickness, but he's again, like he's really big and long. And I think, I didn't mention, I think like once he gets the rim, I think he can be a really good finisher because the contortion and the balance is really, really good. Vertical explosion when he has time to touch. He kind of has like quite a few like weird similarities to Tyrell Terry while being very different.
And like much better, much bigger with a much better body.
And yeah, obviously much worse shooter, but like, yeah I mean, I'm kind of like I get Booknight a little more as like an off guard, like honestly, like to me, he plays more as a wing. Like I wish he was like 6'6", because then I think he'd be really interesting. Still like not even my favorite prospect on UConn. I think that says more about my Andre Jackson thing than Booknight. But I've definitely like gone from I don't really even think I'd draft Booknight to I get if you'd like I get him like early second, late first. Like I'm more enthused on Booknight, and I think there's a chance, you know, he really did improve towards the second half of that freshman season. I think taking on a more creation role, you know, I'm wait and see with him, but I definitely am getting it more with him, I think.
Yeah, Booknight and TJD are two guys that I've like been skeptical of, but also guys I need to do final passes on before the season. The TJD thing has always been weird to me. I know a lot of people really like him,
a lot of people whose opinions I trust,
yeah,
but I still have never really heard an argument for it that I buy.
Yeah, it really doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Like if you do the things that Brandon Clarke does while like not being Brandon Clarke, you're not very good.
Yeah.
It's kind of like it's the whole Draymond thing. Like if you're aspiring to be Brandon Clarke while not like
being that good,
being Brandon, not being Brandon Clarke.
Not a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not gonna go well. Like I'm not totally closed off to him. He could, you know, make strides as a shooter, but like his shot is broken and he took what, like two jumpers this entire year.
Yeah, he didn't take a three.
He's a good free throw shooter. Oh, that's right. I always forget this. He's not a good free throw shooter. And then he's not even a good free throw shooter. Yeah. I don't get it, man. It's nuts. I don't get it, but I'll give him another chance.
Yeah. I definitely like Book Knight more. Like,
yeah, Book Knight's been weird to me.
Fun to watch. Like he has the highlights and he's cool.
Yeah, the Book Knight thing with me has always been like he's billed as this crazy athlete and like you said, he's like not bursty. Yeah.
No, that's definitely not why I'm into Book Knight.
Like, yeah, so I've never thought about him as anything other than like a guard creator, but I'll look at him through a different lens and maybe I'll prefer him. I was gonna ask you if you prefer him or Andre Jackson, and you answered that preemptively.
I like Andre Jackson better.
I did watch some Andre Jackson this week.
He's really good. I like him.
Yeah, he can like kind of pass for a wing.
No, he's too. Like he's an ambitious passer. Like
he will
stuff. I mean, I think him and Book Knight, like all of them in like the same like late first, early second range. I get why you'd like both of them. I think like you said, viewing Book Knight through like a more like off guard wingy type lens makes him a lot more appealing because he's just not a creator. But yeah, I mean, I like Book Knight a little more. And then I was gonna like briefly. I also watched Joe Wieskamp. Joe Wieskamp like just continues to be solid. Like
he is so solid. He's and like, so boring.
Most solid wing prospects ever. Like, looked like he's a really good shooter. He's a pretty good decision maker. Doesn't have any burst, but like actually, I like his handle. Like, I think he can actually dribble. Like I posted some clips yesterday, but he just like has no burst or explosion. He's like a pretty decent slasher technically. Defensively, like has some fine moments as both a team and individual defender, but is unspectacular at both of those things.
What level of shooter do you think he is?
I think he'd be pretty good. I mean,
because he's been very variable over the first 2 years.
Yeah, I tend to lean positive on Wieskamp shooting. I mean, I like utility a lot. He gets it off in a variety of ways. The free throw has always been good on high volume. I think it's pretty good. Like, I don't think it's like special or any like a lead or anything. I think it's like very good, like good enough for a wing to have him as like a early second type of prospect. I mean, I like his shooting. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, he's like very weird because he's so boring that like the fact that he's a pretty good player might be underrated.
So forgettable. Like, but he's But he's like genuinely a good player. Like,
yeah, he's like finished well both years. I agree with you that he's like a pretty good versatile shooter. He's like fine defensively. Yeah, he's just like a fine wing player, and I think being a
good like
fine wing player makes you like an NBA guy. Yeah, I think I don't remember where I tentatively have him. I think like early second.
I've got him like early second. I mean, I haven't like messed with my 21 board in a minute. Like that's gonna be a project for another day. But like he's good. Like.
Yeah, I've got him early second.
I'd probably prefer like a guy like Spencer Jones to him, but
yeah, but I love Spencer Jones. I have Spencer Jones super high for next year. Really? Yeah, Wieskamp, I think might be underrated on account of the fact that he's like unspectacular, but he is like pretty good.
Yeah, he's quite good. I mean, yeah, he's solid. I mean, it's like there's like so many like solid returners next year, like.
Yeah, there are a lot of guys who are solid, which is nice.
All right. So I think we've done enough on these returners. We'll certainly talk more about 2021 college players and freshmen in the upcoming weeks as the draft, as you know, college basketball in the draft near. I think for this episode, we're good to call it.
Sure.
So yeah, thank you all for listening. Again, you can follow the pod at @prep2propod on Twitter. Follow Max at @MaxACarlin. Follow me at @Ben_Pfeiffer_. And as always, thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.